This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Okay, so welcome, as always, to Kerry Dixon, Chelsea legend. How are you, mate?
I'm fine, thank you, Dave.
So how are you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks.
Good. Good week?
So bad. Results went okay.
Didn't they just?
I've ticked along quite nicely and didn't expect some of the results, but as I've said, as long as we keep doing our job, then I think the situation will take care of itself.
Yeah, it was a funny old night on Tuesday. Actually, I mean, I was watching it at home, and which is, you know, I don't like watching Chelsea on the television. Never have. I don't know why, but I mean, at the end of that match, the last kind of 4 or 5 minutes, I was actually standing up, which is always quite a bad sign. But you know, it was tense, wasn't it, for a while? But I mean, my overriding view of it, mate, was the fact that, you know, We should and perhaps, well, we could and perhaps should have won that match. I mean, if we'd have got that penalty from Costa, we'd have been going home with all 3 points.
Yeah, and we could have lost it. I think at the start, I certainly would have took a draw. I think a draw was a decent result away there. I always do. Away at your, what I would say, main adversaries for the Premier League title, and certainly Liverpool are one of them. And everyone knows who the rest are. So you would take a draw away and you'd like to think you could beat them at home. And, you know, so the draw away was good. And the bonus, of course, was everyone else pretty much dropping points. I mean, the following day when you get Tottenham, Arsenal and you know, dropping points left, right and centre. OK, City picked up. But Manchester United dropping points. All of them 3 games I would have thought were givers. Tottenham, Arsenal and Manchester United. And I would have thought City. And City the only one to capitalise. So as long as Chelsea continue to do their thing, they're making it a lot easier for us.
Yeah, they certainly are, aren't they? And I mean, actually, to be fair to you and I, we've mentioned that on the show a few weeks back that, you know, our rivals, as it were, are going to, you know, a lot of them have got to play each other and they're gonna lose points. So, you know, if we keep doing our stuff, we'll be all right. At the end of the day, though, mate, you know, given that all of our, well, you know, that Man United dropped points, that Spurs dropped points, that Arsenal lost even, which is even better. You know, I reckon we can see that definitely as a point gained rather than two dropped.
Yeah, it would have been a point gained no matter what for me, Dave. You know, I really do think that. You know, I'm looking to beat Arsenal on Saturday and I was looking at a point at Liverpool. You know, as it turned out, yes, we could have nicked it and yes, some people would argue we deserved it. Some people look at the game and think Liverpool possibly deserved it. You know, they missed some decent chances and near the end, obviously, after our penalties, they would have argued that he should have scored for Firmino. But listen, I think a draw was about right. And, you know, Liverpool would be happy with a draw, I think, given their current circumstances. Chelsea, for me, would certainly be happy with the draw at the start of the game. Whether they would at the end of it or not remains to be seen.
Yeah, well, as I said, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we've extended our lead by a point on our rival, so we can't be disappointed with that. I just to, like to pick up on a couple of the performances, actually, from Tuesday night. I thought Kante, in particular, and David Luiz as well, were absolutely colossal during that match. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Kante's like three players. He just gets everywhere, intercepts. It's just amazing. And I thought Luiz was superb at the back, especially when you consider that he's been carrying an injury since he got kicked by Aguero. So I think those two absolutely deserve some praise for their performance on Tuesday. Would you agree with that?
Well, I've said it time and time again. It's a team effort. And it's wrong to pick out two. Every time during the season, you know, certain players are going to play better than others.
Mm.
I mean, we've given enough praise, and quite rightly so, to Hazard and Costa, who were, I'm not going to say subdued, but it wasn't perhaps their day. You know, some people say Hazard looked our most threatening player and so on. Everyone's got their own ideas on these tight games. But what I do think is that, you know, defence players always come into their own in these tight defensive away, these tight away games. And, you know, Claude Makélélé, I think after him, he revelled in when we were up against it, the Cities, the United's away and all that. And, you know, he would be there protecting the back four, because everyone expects Chelsea to get rolled over, and when it doesn't happen, we look at our defensive side, and, you know, I'm actually going to agree with you, but I hate to overstate that they do their job week in, week out. And, you know, when we go and get a load of goals, I suppose they might argue that these type of people, they don't get enough credit because they don't create, and they deserve some more credit when they are destructive and do what they do best, and they do what they're in the team for. My argument is always, as I say, all right, credit where it's due. They're in there to do a job. The hardest thing for me, and I'll say it again, in football, is to create goals, score goals, and people say, well, of course you'd say that. But the trouble is, it is. That's why they get paid the most. That's why they get lauded the most. And, you know, and that's why people pay the most transfer fees for them. The people who can create destruction in football can be down to organisation. And, you know, if you've got a person who's good at it, great. You know, plenty of people try to be, but creativity is what it's all about. And that's sometimes when I look at managers and people say, what do they do? You know, I think it's easy to create organisation and destruction and stop teams playing. And every now and again, people say masterstroke and so on. Not many go and coach how to beat teams, what to do, give the ball here, how to open up a tight defensive unit. The man that manages to master that particular art will be the best manager in the world.
Mm, interesting thoughts. Talking of, you know, coaching players to do things, what did you think of Luiz's free kick? That's not the kind of thing you can coach, is it? Or is it?
No, it's not. Listen, I can't work out his free kicks. I couldn't quite work out Cristiano Ronaldo's. You know, you knew David Beckham when he was going to come. He was going to whip it over the wall and, you know, the style of free kick and, you know, for the right footer, and it would suit the left footer on the other side if they've got the talent to do it. But this David Luiz and Cristiano Ronaldo in world football, they sort of run at it straight and the ball goes, dips, it swerves. Luiz actually hits his side foot. You know, he doesn't strike it with the instep. I don't know. Listen, I can't work it out. Is the answer? No, I can't. But listen, if it ends up in the back of the net, and it has done on a few occasions now, first time this year, I think it is, but it has done in the past, it's great when it works.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few people that were no Chelsea fans were whining about it, obviously, but there were a few Liverpool fans that were whining about the fact that it was a bit unfair because poor old Mignolet wasn't actually looking when he took it. I mean, that's a load of nonsense, isn't it? The whistle had gone, he should have been on it.
Well, if the referee blows the whistle or if the referee says carry on, you know, you've got to be aware of these situations. And, you know, how often in the history have you seen people take quick free kicks and something become of it? And people say, wonderful intuition, great awareness and well done. And that works in the opposite way for people who aren't aware and are not taking stock of what's happening during free kicks defensively. So, you know, it works both ways. So I suppose for me, Mignolet gets an unlucky.
Yeah, quite. Actually, you know, talking about the way that Luiz kicks the ball, you know, it reminds me, you'll remember this, you and I are not dissimilar in age, but when I was a kid, you used to be able to get these quite cheap plastic footballs, not the leather ones, and they were really light. And if you wellied that, they would do the most weird shapes, wouldn't they? You remember that?
As soon as you said them cheap plastic footballs, I knew exactly what type of free kick. So they could have been called, brought back a bit. It could be the David Luiz free kick because you actually hit them hard and struck them well and they'd go all over the place. You wouldn't know whether it'd be wind take them or what would happen. Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, I'm not surprised many a goalkeeper will be bamboozled by that type of free kick.
Yeah, it was a super free kick. I absolutely went ballistic when that went in, I can tell you, even if I was in the sanctuary of my living room at the time. Anyway, we should move on to, you know, the second part of what is a very big week for Chelsea with the match against Arsenal coming up on Saturday. And, of course, you know, they seem to be doing their usual thing. I mean, I don't think anybody predicted that they'd get beaten by Watford on Tuesday. But, you know, I mean, I've seen a few of the highlights and read a lot about it. And apparently they were woeful, absolutely woeful. And I'll be honest with you, Kerry, that kind of worries me because I'm kind of now thinking that they can't be as woeful again against us on Saturday, surely. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, one thing's for sure, you know, players are human beings and they're going to bounce back from that, you know. Supporters would have given them a load of grief. They'd have listened to radio and TV programmes and they'd have been much maligned over the performance. And, you know, and like you've already said time and time again, Arsenal fans must be thinking, this is a case of deja vu. We've been here before, you know. Every season it seems to be, get themselves in a position, throw it away and this sort of month, this sort of time, and then come back and finish the season strong and end up third or second. You can't understand it. I think that, teams have dips, teams have highs, and, you know, but every now and again, one or two players will do that, have poor performances, and the team might suffer because of it. But it does seem to be a regular thing. But you're quite right. Be wary of a wounded animal and, you know, I still believe, you know, providing Chelsea continue to do what they do, we shouldn't worry too much about Arsenal. It's up to Arsenal to get their own house in order. We have to continue to play and do what we do. And I'm sure Antonio Conte and the boys will continue to do that. If we play like we can, Arsenal will undoubtedly have to step up, not just because they're a wounded animal and they need to show their fans that, you know, we are still contenders for the title, but to actually upset or take any points at all off of Chelsea. Because Chelsea at the moment are a decent side doing the same thing week in, week out, which they have been doing for the majority of the season. And that's the reason they're in the position they are. And nothing's going to change.
Well, I would agree with all of that. I mean, the other thing I would say, of course, is that we're now a very different team, you know, from the one actually you could argue, you know, when we got beaten so badly by them, you know, earlier in the year or earlier in the season, which of course led to us adopting, you know, the different formation and everything. But I mean, we're a very different team. And I also think that we'll probably, you know, we'll be out to set that one straight as well. Because the thing is, Kerry, I mean, you know, I'm sure you remember this when you were a player, you know the matches that the fans desperately want to win, you know, where we don't like Arsenal. There's a bit of a rivalry there. And we've also had a fantastic record against them in recent history, you know. So the players, I'm sure, and Conte will be aware that this is a match that we desperately want them to win. And I'm sure they feel that they've got something to prove as well, won't they?
Well, I would think so, you know. But most importantly, I would have thought, if it was me and I was in the dressing room now, come on, we want to beat this, stop it. You know, it's a big game. It's one of our rivals. But more importantly, you know, players' mindset. I mean, I as a goal scorer be thinking, I want to score a goal. That'd be Diego Costa, I would imagine.
Yeah.
The defensive players won't want to concede. They will want to keep their clean sheets and so on. And the team and the manager will want to take 3 points to preserve their place at the top of the league and possibly put one of their contenders totally out of action or out of the, I don't know how many points Arsenal will be behind if we manage to beat them. You know,
12,
it changes week in, week out. 12 points behind. You're looking at Chelsea then dropping, losing 4 and drawing 1 and Arsenal winning all of theirs. It's starting to look a forlorn thing for them. So the onus is seriously on them. But it's an opportunity for Chelsea to really strengthen their position. And I've got to say, you know, the more you look at it as these results go by, I said last week, if they manage to come out and they've still got something like 6 or 7 point lead after these two games, you've got to seriously think, you know, it is theirs to lose. People were talking about it. People were saying it. But if we manage to do that
and still got a lead over all of our rivals, I'm going to start to think, and I'm the eternal pessimist, believe me.
Well, like most of us,
you know, it's never over till it's over. Nothing's given out in February, and you know, you remember the Kevin Keegan situation, and you know, all of that, and 12 points somehow get eroded. But goodness me, it would take some calamitous situation. But anyway, I've moved on somehow. Yes, we need to beat them. It's a good opportunity for us, and we're in a great position to do so. I've got to say, and it might be a bit early in the show, but I expect us to do so as well.
Yeah, good. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, one thing I would mention, actually, of course, because Wenger's still got his ban. I mean, obviously, they've also got a lot of their midfield out as well, which may be a help. But I'm just kind of curious, you know, is it a help or a hindrance to Arsenal with Wenger being in the stands? Although I have to say, mate, one of my partners in crime on the Monday show actually sits at the front in the East Stand, in the, you know, middle tier in the East Stand, and I'm just hoping that Wenger gets to sit next to him, because that'll certainly help us.
Yeah, I'm sure. Listen, I have to say here on in, I think Arsene Wenger is a wonderful manager. People might disagree, you know, it can be a bone of contention on your other shows and so on, and even in the pub, but I think he's a great manager. I think he's got a bit of class about him, and I think he acts in a dignified manner the majority of the time. he's done wonderful for them. It's arguable, have we had better managers, have we had worse managers, but listen, he's done a great job in over the period he's been there. You know, he's been through the Invincibles and so on. They're going to find a tough job to replace him. You know, they always shout for, they want their manager, you know, half of them want to change, half of them don't, and so on. I just wonder who they're going to replace him with, if indeed they take that route. So is it a hindrance? No, I would say if you've got a good manager, you sit tight. I sometimes look at us and I think to us, you know, we've sometimes made mistakes. We've dived in too early and got rid of managers. And other times I think, you know, certain managers have overstayed their welcome. With Wenger, Arsenal fans are entitled to think what they do. They, you know, they're the ones that go week in, week out to look at the team that he puts out and, you know, and get their performances. I, from an outsider looking at Arsenal, I think he's a decent manager and done well for them.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live, it's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
I mean, do you think it'll make a difference with him, you know, not being on the bench, though? You know, I mean, does that make much of a difference if you're a player to have the manager, you know, away from the action, as it were?
No, it doesn't. It wouldn't make a difference to me, I've got to be honest. Yeah. You know, I used to tend to go out and do my own thing. There weren't many players around, I'm sure, that would say they'd be worried about what the manager says you know, once you go out onto the field, you know, the manager says he's been in the dressing room, and if you want certain information, you know, I've said before, I don't listen to the manager. I never listen to them waving their arms around. They never used to do it so much in my day, waving their arms around, running up and down the touchline, talking to the fourth official who weren't even there, and, you know, gesticulating to everyone and all and sundry. You know, I didn't used to tell, if you're wondering more about, as a player, what's going on the sidelines, you're not doing your job properly anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You should be worried about what's going on the field.
Yeah, I've got to say, mate. You know, if I had been a player, or if I was a player, you know, in the Premier League, and I mean, much as I love Conte, I think he's absolutely fantastic. But if I had a manager who was constantly pointing to me, telling me where to pass the ball and where to run, it would wind me up something chronic, I have to say. But that's probably just me.
Well, listen, I love Antonio Conte. It's not about judging the actions and judging antics on the side of the field, as I've said time and time again. I'll love the manager for putting the Premier League title and redressing where Chelsea were last season, putting the Premier League title back in our cabinet. Why I love him more than anything. Not about how much he argues, how much he rants, how much he enjoys it. You know, how many Liverpool people are enjoying Klopp at the moment? He does all of that. I mean, I like Klopp for what I see. But at the end of the day, I don't want a situation whereby my manager, if you like, is more interested in what he's doing and making theatrics on the sideline than actually telling the team and getting them to do what he wants to do, if indeed he thinks he has that amount of say. You know, obviously he has a say, he picks a team, he organises them, he puts them out there, but he can't decide how they're going to play once they go out there. He can't decide how their direct opposite person, like if it's a winger playing a fullback, if the fullback's having a blinder and stopping the winger, the winger's gone out there to try and play well. The centre forward's gone out there to try and play well. But if the centre half's playing great against him, there isn't an awful lot you can do. You can try your best, and it might not be your day. This is the way football is. And managers are not going to have an influence over that situation.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, of course, the only thing they can do in that context, I suppose, is to sub you off. But
take him off.
And
take him off.
You know. And that is what they're there for. Just kind of moving it in a slightly different direction. I mean, you know, I was thinking very much when I was watching the Liverpool game, I was wondering, you know, really what was up with Hazard. And I think he's been quite subdued for the last few games. But I learned a couple of days ago that, you know, he's actually been carrying a knock for the last two or three games, which might explain it. And also, of course, as I mentioned earlier, Luiz has been carrying a knock since the Aguero incident. And I think, you know, again, looking at the report that I was reading, they're both kind of playing through the pain and quite happy to do that. But, you know, you played the game. I mean, how long can you do that for before, you know, it gets too much and you have to sit a few games out, number one? And if they do have to do that, they're going to be a big loss for us, I would have thought, if we do have to lose them through injury in the week or two ahead, perhaps.
Well, maybe so. I found to my cost, trying to play when you're not 100% right is not the best thing. You do not, no matter what you think you like, you aren't playing to your best. And, you know, you might get away with it in certain games, you might get a goal or so on, but you don't perform to your best if you're not 100%, you know. And there's a thin line between playing through pain. You know, people say, oh, you want to play for the team, you're showing some guts, you get out there and play, strap it up and play. But if you're not performing to your best, the people who say strap it up and get out there will quickly haul you off and say, well, you're not doing any good. They say, well, I'm not fit enough to do myself justice, or I'm not quite fit enough. You know, I'm nearly fit enough. And it's how long are you prepared to have the tolerance whereby you suffer, the team might suffer. If the team are getting away with it and you're getting away with it, well, so be it. But other players might think, well, hold on, you're not doing your job and we're carrying you to a degree. It's a very thin line. I think... And forgive me for saying this again, it's like I've got a downer on defensive players. But I think negativity, I think David Luiz could carry it more than an Eden Hazard. I think, you know, because he's there to be destructive, Mark, and he's not there to create.
Yeah.
Body swerves, drop your shoulder, move, different direction, shots. It's a little bit different to putting your body in the way and putting a foot in the way. You know, making blocks, making tackles, you know. I think creative players will find it harder. It's just my thought. People would get hammered, and people at the back and everyone else would be saying, don't be stupid if you're not right and all the rest, and playing through pain. But listen, the proof is in the pudding. If you're not right, you've already said Eden Hazard he's looked a bit subdued. You say he's been playing with an injury. Then you say David Luiz was absolutely brilliant at Liverpool and he's been playing with an injury.
Yeah, I mean, that's the proof, isn't it? I mean, exactly, that's the proof. That's exactly what we've seen, you know. So that's an interesting point you made there. I mean, you know, if we had to lose them, you know, if they can't keep playing through an injury, I mean, I would say that's going to... I don't know. I get the sense that that would be pretty bad news for us because Hazard's our most creative player, and I think Luiz has been a rock at the back for most of the season. So they're hard to... I mean, I know we've got players in the squad. I mean, JT would probably come in for Luiz, and Pedro's actually been playing really well anyway, so we can cover them. But, you know, you would rather have them starting than not starting, wouldn't you?
But if they're fit for me. I think my own idea is if a player isn't 100% fit and he's not doing himself justice or the team justice, no real point in having him out there. You'd rather have a fit player who's not capable of doing quite everything, but he's not going to be hindered by fitness. So I think I'd rather have a fit player, given the choice myself. And if they are fit, if Eden Hazard is not fit, and people say, "Oh, you're subdued because he's not quite fit," give him a break. You know, yeah, he is our most creative player. But we're so many points, 9 points clear at the moment? And so one or two games, we can afford that. Give him a break and hopefully get himself right and come back and finish the season strong. That's just my view.
To be fair, Kerry, I think Conte would agree with that because, of course, he took him off with a fair amount of time to go against Liverpool, and that's a big, big game that we really wanted to win. So, you know, I don't think he would have taken him off if he felt that he was 100% fit and able to influence the game.
Sorry, Dave, but we're not that devoid of players that we have to keep playing players through pain and injury. You know, all you're going to do is make the injury work, and you could turn it into a situation whereby they could be missing months next year or towards the end of the season. But, you know, give them a break and get the injury right.
No, I'd agree with that. And as I said, I think that's probably what he did. But it'll be interesting to see if he starts on Saturday. But we'll find that out at the time, no doubt. Before we make a bit of a prediction as to what we think... I'll rephrase that. Before we make a prediction as to how many Chelsea will win by, I just want to... Because actually, it's really funny. Somebody picked me up on this in the pub last weekend saying, "I've been listening to that show you do with Kerry." He said, "You always predict we're going to win, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah, but, you know, come on. Neither of us can ever bear to say we're going to lose. It doesn't work like that." So there we go. Anyway,
but hang on, on the back of that. Sorry about that. On the back of that as well, we predicted we're going to win, and we haven't done a bad job.
We haven't,
because inevitably we have won.
That's true. That's very, very true. I mean, apart from the Spurs game, but we're not going to talk about that. Right, I just want to have a quick chat, really. We've lost, Branimir Ivanovic has gone off to Zenit this week, and... you know, today Frank Lampard, or as Sir Frank Lampard, as I like to call him, finally hung up his boots. So I just wanted to hear what you really thought about Branner and his career. And I know you got on very, very well with Frank and spoke a lot to him. So I'm sure you've got a few kind words to say about Frank.
Oh, without doubt, you know. But listen, we'll start with Branner. And listen, he will go down as Mr. 8 out of 10 for Chelsea. You know, what Jose Mourinho once said about Paulo Ferreira, you know, "I don't need a 10 out of 10 and a 6 out of 10 or a 4 out of 10. I need 7 every week. That's why I got Paulo Ferreira." Well, Paulo Ferreira was replaced by Branislav Ivanovic, and you got 8 out of 10 every week. I think there was probably one or two poor games in the entire period that he was with us. And listen, he could arguably, he'd be in, you sort of look at fullbacks and you look at your greatest ever Chelsea side or whatever, or players, he'd be in, you had to pick five right fullbacks. In my opinion, he'd be one of the five who you'd be selecting from. I think he's done a wonderful job, and he's been great for us. I really do. Great Chelsea career, and I wish him all the best.
I echo that absolutely. I love Branner. I mean, I tell you what, mate. When you kind of look at things, when you reflect on a player's career, you know, okay, there's stuff that doesn't you know spring out at you. You know, like the effort that they make and the commitment they make. Although, you know, for Branner, that incident where he played with a cut foot and the boot was ended up in blood and they put it in the academy. I mean, that supporters love that kind of commitment, but. I think if you look at the contribution that he's made as well, you know, look at some of the important goals he scored, Liverpool, Napoli, you know, the winner in the Europa Cup. I mean, he's only matched in that respect in terms of a winning European goal by Drogba, Zola and Peter Osgood. So he's right up there, isn't he? He really is.
Oh, of course he is. Listen, Liverpool one, I was there for both of them. Wonderful, yeah. Scoring up there. And, you know, I've already said, you pick a top five fullback or player in that position, in each position, he'll be in contention. You know, some people say my top three or whatever, but it sets another argument off. But listen, he's earned that status. And for me, it'd be in contention. It'd be someone to be talked about.
Yeah. And what about Frank? I mean, what can we say about Frank that hasn't already been said? But, I mean, for me, Kerry, he's got to be... I would argue he's probably the greatest Chelsea player of all time. I really would put him that high.
Well, I wouldn't argue against it because I actually think, you know, everyone says about who is, who isn't, and whatever. 12 years of your life, midfield player, scoring the goals he got. With, you know, obviously, I put scoring them goals in quite a high thought pattern. But, you know... Yeah, JT is the one for me might come close. Chopper Harris, you know, people will say that 21 years, you know, Peter Bonetti, the people, you know, if you're talking longevity, but you know, to actually do the achievements that Frank got and to do what he did, to play for England over 100 times for us, you know, to score goals that he got, to score the important goals that he got for us. Apart from, you know, there's never such a thing as a mundane, ordinary goal, because every goal is a great goal, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, he scored, I think, 212 mundane or brilliant goals. I think he's right up there. If I said Branislav Ivanovic is in contention and would be in contention or should, in my opinion, or be talked about for arguably one of Chelsea's greatest ever right-backs, well, Frank Lampard is certainly in the mix for Chelsea's greatest ever player. He'd be looking to get my vote. I mean, obviously, there you get your Zolas, you get yours, you get, you know, your Didier's, you know, JT.
Dare I say your Kerry Dixon as well?
No. Listen, not you know, whatever people think. I'd never put myself in them sort of brackets. But nevertheless, Frank Lampard certainly is. And wish him all the best, whatever he does. I mean, he'll make a success of whatever he does, Frank. He's, you know... he's an articulate man. He's been a wonderful footballer and an absolute great credit to us as Chelsea people. I mean, he's certainly one of us. Started at West Ham, but he's one of us. And he'll be a credit to whatever profession he chooses to go to next.
Yeah, I think that's a really... I mean, you know him very well, and I mean, it's an important point to make. Apart from everything else that he's achieved in the game and in particular for us and the relationship we have with him, he's also a lovely bloke, isn't he?
Oh, without doubt. No, you take as you find. I mean, not everyone can say that everyone's a great bloke. Some people like people better than others, and some people prefer the company of some better than others. But listen, Frank is pretty much a universal character, and you know, he seems accessible and great to everyone. And, you know, that is the way. You know, he certainly is that type of guy. He will get on with most people, and he is a lovely man. As I say, and you know, it was a wonderful day when he came to Chelsea Football Club from West Ham.
Yeah, I'll share a little story with you. I wrote an article about him, a very praiseworthy article about him, as you can imagine, for CFC UK, and I got to meet him at the training ground a couple of years later, and I took the article on the CFC UK with me because I wanted him to sign it. And I was sitting there and I was explaining to him that I'd written this article about him and could he sign it and everything, and he started to try and read it. And I said, no, Frank, you don't have to read it, mate. Just sign it. That's absolutely fine. But he would have done it. He would have sat there and would have read it, you know. And I just thought it was a lovely touch.
I'm just saying that's how articulate he is, and he was making sure probably that he isn't
probably
signing
correcting
nothing.
All
that,
the, yeah.
You might have put an expletive saying something, you know, unpleasant about him, and he's actually signed a bottle of it. You know, you never know.
Mate, well, that's true.
It's not a bad thing to actually read what you're signing, that's for sure, these days.
That's very true. There have been some funny stories about that. But then again, Kerry, as you well know, with Dave, or he who must not be named, as I call him, as the editor, I can guarantee that there would be no bad language and definitely no spelling mistakes.
Absolutely.
Right, now, on that happy note, it's time for us to nail our colours to the mast for the Arsenal game. What are you going to go for?
2-1 Chelsea. No matter who plays, I think we're in a good position, a good place, and I think it's time to cement our title credentials for once and for all. And I think we'll do that by beating Arsenal, and I think we'll do that by the odd goal.
Okay, well, I'd settle for that, but this is Arsenal, Kerry, so I'm going to go for 3-1.
Why not push the boat out and go for a few more goals? I don't know. I don't expect another 6-0, that's for sure.
Oh, no, I was there for that. It was quite wonderful. But no, I'd settle for 2-1, but I have a sneaking suspicion we'll go 3-1. I think a lot will depend on whether Hazard starts. But like you said, you know, I think Pedro's on great form. If he comes in, he'll do a good job too. Right, I think we should leave it there and let you get on. I will speak to you no doubt next week when hopefully we will be celebrating being 12 points clear of Arsenal and at least 9 or 10 points ahead of our other rivals.
Let's hope so, Dave. Have a nice weekend and look forward to next weekend.
Will do, mate. I'll catch up next week. Thanks a lot, as always. It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.